This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, this is Animal Party, and that means you're listening to Deb Wolf, the host of Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. For all these years and all these places and all these listeners, all these pets, thank you so much for listening, everybody. Today I'm going to give out another one of those awards. You know, when I talk about the worst dog at the beach, yeah, well, I have a contender, a strong contender. So, we're talking about White Rock Beach, which is not a beach I normally go to. I love it there, but it's very full of people. Stores and ice cream and a giant pier that people walk. It's near Vancouver. You can look at the United States from the pier. It's absolutely beautiful, but it is very crowded and very popular. So it's not a place I'd ever take a dog to, personally. Maybe one dog on a leash, but that would be pretty much it. So there they are, White Rock Beach, heat of the summer, heat wave, summer season, Saturday, Sunday, weekend crowds, tourists galore, right? So what's this guy decide to do? Okay, he's going to take his two dogs, French bulldogs. So they're not huge or anything, but they're snorty and they're messy and they're not everybody's cup of tea. Some people might say they're ugly. Some people might say they're cute. But one was a Frenchie and one was a bulldog. So the bulldog's a little bit bigger. Anyway, one's fairly big, maybe 50 pounds, and the other's small. But they snort and they snuffle and they travel along. And so the guy takes them off leash on this crowded beach where all these people have their blankets set out and their picnics. And so nobody knows the names of these dogs, but my daughter decided to name one of them Gun and the other one Pellet, because that's kind of what they look like. One was gunmetal gray and the other one, I don't know why it's called Pellet, but there you go. So Gun and Pellet. So Gun and Pellet, a boy and girl bulldog, are walking along the beach, and the guy takes the leashes off in this incredibly crowded area where all these people are eating. They got little kids in the water and little floaties, you know, and there's a lot of sand and big, long beach, and everybody's having a great time, but it's crowded. And so what do these dogs do? Well, of course, they walk over everybody's blankets and towels. They try to beg food from everybody. Now, Gun, the female one, apparently stuck with the owner and was really good. But Pellet, the intact male, went a-wandering. and he walked over blankets and he spilled people's food and he begged and he stole. And this is why he gets the award today for the worst dog at the beach. He did. We need a drum roll for this. Brrr. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the pièce de résistance. His great best trick ever at the beach. What did Pellet do? He lifted his leg on people's blankets. Yes. So the guy's walking along the beach with his dog Gun. They're walking, totally ignoring the other dog, who's free ranging, wandering back and forth, willy-nilly, peeing on this, peeing on that, eating this, begging off that. The guy has to call him several times. The dog appears to be picking a different family to go with every time. Anybody who's got a kid in the water or a ball. I mean, he's a good-natured dog. He knows where the fun is, and he's not hurting anybody, but he's certainly a nuisance. Anybody who's afraid of dogs is going to be terrified of this thing. And he's running around loose and misbehaving. Anybody who doesn't want to come home from the beach with a blanket smelling like somebody else's dog's urine is going to be angry. So anyway, this guy, whether he saw the dog pee or not, I don't know. But right after one of these big lift-a-leg moments, suspiciously, finally, he called the dog and put it on leash and walked the rest of the way with it on leash. He never told the people. Oh my goodness, does he ever win the worst pet owner at the beach award this week? Yes, yes. Five stars for this guy. I would kick him off the beach. All right, everybody, it's not the dog, it's the owner. Let's come back to Animal Party after a break, and I'm going to give you a recipe today, sometime during the show, and it's something that not just dogs will eat, cats will eat it too. So finally giving you a recipe you can make at home that your cats and your dogs will like, a treat. So we'll talk about that later. And have you ever wondered what animal at the zoo would be the most difficult to weigh. It's the annual weigh-in at the London Zoo. 10,000 animals, 400 species. Think about that. Don't Google it. Just think about it. We'll come back after the break and I'll tell you the answer, but just think about it. What animal do you think would be the hardest animal to weigh if you were in charge of weighing animals at the London Zoo? Stay tuned. Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And I just gave out my Worst Dog at the Beach Award to Pellet, who we named. We don't know his name. And of course, oh, I forgot to mention, the guy keeps telling people who seem afraid of his dog, he's okay, he's friendly, it's okay. Well, he doesn't say, it's okay, he'll pee on your blanket, it's okay, he'll harass your child for their food. No, he doesn't say that. He says, it's okay, he's friendly. And then the dog pees on your blanket. Okay, so enough about Gun and Pellet. On another topic, though, of bad pet ownership, I like to watch shows on TV sometimes and notice how they're treating their dogs or their cats. Notice what's wrong, what's right. So here's a really good example of something I've talked about before. When you pick the wrong name for a dog, change it. A dog can learn new tricks. They can learn new words. If you had a new kind of cookie in the house and you called it by name, your dog would learn that word so fast. If you made up a word for treat and started using it every time you gave your dog a treat, your dog would know that word by tomorrow. So if you give him a new name and you make it happy, and every time you say the new name, you touch him and stroke him and pet him and love him and kiss him and cuddle him, he'll learn his new name in a day or two. You could even use his old name first and the new name next to it. So say his old name was something terrible, like I've told you before, something that rhymed with no. Maybe his name was Bruno. So now you're going to call him Bruno, Bruna. You just change it. Bruna, change it a little bit. Just take the word no out of it. Okay, so I've told you all about that before, but now we have demonstrated on TLC this couple who don't get along very well, and he wants a baby, and they already have a little girl, and she doesn't want a baby. So what does she do? She goes and adopts a tiny little puppy. Okay. That's okay. All right. And she lets her little girl, toddler, name the dog. Bit of a mistake there, but okay. Unfortunately, though, the girl, whose name is Mila, decides to call the dog Mila. Now, this is a big no-no for me. It's really going to mess up the dog. The dog will never know who's being spoken to. It cannot distinguish, especially a puppy at that age, the difference between the word Mila and the word Mila, especially since the name is actually another language, and so many of the Americans who will be pronouncing it might pronounce the two things the same. So there's going to be a lot of Mila, Mila, Milo, Mila, and that poor dog is not going to know if the toy is for him or not, if she's supposed to get in the car or the child is supposed to get in the car, if she's been bad or the child's been bad. In fact, this could cause serious trauma on the child because a child will hear the scolding with its name or the corrections with its name and not even know that it's not being spoken to. And I'm not saying the child isn't smart enough to understand the difference. A child is, and so is a dog. But in the heat of the moment, when words are flying, it's very hard even for grown adults, when they live in a house where it's, you know, John and John Jr., they often mistake, what, which one, who, wait, Hank William, Hank Jr., huh? You know, it's confusing. So why do that to a puppy? That Mila puppy needs to be called something else as soon as possible. All right, so just a little bit of TLC. Now, I did tease you about the zoo. Who do you think would be the hardest animal to weigh? I know, I would guess ferocious things. If I didn't know, I would guess ferocious things. I would get, you know, the real nasty things. But no, they're not hard to weigh. Oftentimes, they just sort of walk onto a scale with food on it after the food's been weighed. So we know how much the food weighs. The animal walks on the scale, and then, you know, that's kind of where the food's suspended above, so there's no weight on the food in case the animal's wolfing it down. And the animal stands on the scale eating, and you weigh it. Very easy. There's other animals that you think would be difficult. So who do you think is the trickiest animal out of 400 species and 10,000 animals at the London Zoo? Well, I'll tell you who. It's the monkey. The monkeys. The monkeys are the hardest. Yes. No more monkeys jumping on the bed. I get it. I totally get it. Once upon a time, a long time ago, I worked with baby gorillas. And they were not easy. And if you wanted to weigh one of them, I think a lot of mischief would have ensued. That's the thing about monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas. They can be extremely playful and willful and agile and nimble-fingered. It's you're working with something that seems, at least when it comes to these skills, at least as smart as us, if not smarter. The escape skill, the avoidance skill, the jump up to the ceiling skill. Things we can't do. Very, very, very difficult to weigh a monkey, says the London Zoo. All right, well, we're going to go to another break and come back. And before we end the show, I will give you that recipe. So stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Ooh, and one really amazing thing some teenage boys did. Yeah, teenage boys did something amazing. I'll tell you about it next on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. So I'm going to give you a recipe that you could use for dog treats and you can use for cat treats. And the producer at Pet Life Radio thinks you could use it for producer treats. That's what he thinks. He thinks he'd want to eat that. So interesting. Okay. Salmon croquettes, he said. Yeah, I'm going to give you that recipe later. But before I do, I want to tell you, cats can learn. They can learn all the tricks dogs can learn. And if you think about it, your cat knows how to knock stuff off the counter to get your attention, knows how to sit in your inbox, not your outbox, knows how to sit on the device you most want to use, knows about your phone and your glasses and all your keys, all the things you want. If you're a smoker, you know your cat knows how to steal lighters. Your cat knows how to steal change. These are all things they come up with just to entertain themselves mentally. Partly because we're not doing anything. So it's about time we started, first of all, greeting our cats. When you come in a room, you always say hi to your dogs. You're like, oh, I missed you. Pet, 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 right? You look at them, you smile at them, you say their name, you touch them. That's very civilized. When you come into a room and you see your cat, do you even acknowledge it? Probably not. Well, at least say hello. At the very least, at least say, hey, Zena, how you doing to the cat? Hi, Mittens. How's it going? At least talk to them. They know their name, and they know when they're being ignored. So don't be surprised if they ignore you later, okay? These things are very conditional. Dogs, cats, people say dogs and cats give unconditional love. I'm telling you, that's BS. Pile it up in the corner. It'll make the garden grow. That is not true. Dogs and cats are absolutely conditional. You give them, they give back. That's how it goes. I can walk into a house and know immediately what person is best to the dog. By the way, the dog is looking at them, watching them, minding them, placing himself between me and them to protect them. Like, you can tell the dog, the person who does the least with the dog, never walks a dog, never feeds a dog, that person doesn't get much respect from the dog. And cats are the same way. So when you walk in the house and you want to say hi to your cat or any cat, especially a cat you don't know, you don't go up to it. No, that's not how it works when you're greeting a tiny little animal that likes to climb things. Instead, what you do is you look right at it and you close your eyes and count to three. Because really, we'll do it too short if we don't. It's a couple seconds you're supposed to do, but count to three. One, two, three. Now open your eyes again and stare back at your cat. If your cat likes you, trusts you, and wants to greet you back, your cat will then do that exact thing back at you. It will mirror your extended blink. So the cat will then close its eyes longer than normal, maybe 2 seconds, one, two, and open and look at you. Your cat has just said hello back. That's very civilized. Now I would say the cat's name is Mittens. Mittens, hello. And if I wanted it to come to me, I would then tap my leg or rub my two fingers against each other, index and middle finger, down on the floor next to my ankle. And I would actually picture in my head what I want. I would picture in my head, I would put a little mental image of the cat jumping down from wherever it is and gently walking over and rubbing against my ankle. And I bet if you do this, you will be so shocked to find that your cat, who never greets you and doesn't seem to give a hoot about you, is all of a sudden doing exactly that. When you picture what you want, your cat actually reads it and comes over. So try it. Try that. Now I'm going to give you a treat recipe to make it all work even better. And you can teach your cat not just how to say hello or come when called, which is what we just did, but you can teach it also to sit on command, to shake paw on command, to climb up to things, to follow your hand where you move it, or a pointer stick. So you can get your cat jumping around and going over obstacles and going around things. You can use a toy to get it to follow. And just when it's really good, every so often, give it one of those treats that we're about to talk about. That's right, a little salmon treat. Never hurt anybody. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. I hope you'll train your cats and use these treats. So in the recipe, it says you can use tuna, but I would not use tuna. I would use something else. So 10 ounces canned salmon or even canned chicken would work, a beaten egg, 2 cups of wheat flour, and that's all you need. Okay, you mix that all up, and you're going to need a food processor. So preheat the oven to 350. Pulse 10 ounces of the undrained canned salmon in the food processor to get it really, 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 really fine. Then in a stand mixer, combine salmon, the chopped up salmon that you just did, with egg, 2 cups whole wheat flour, and just keep stirring it until a dough forms. If the dough's too dry, you can add a third of a cup of water. If it's too wet or sticky, you can add more flour. You want the dough to be tacky, but not sticky. Okay, and then, so like for one egg, you'd probably need 2 cups whole wheat flour. All right, so then you roll the dough out on a floured surface, and you just use a cookie cutter and you cut the cookies. I would go really small if you've got a cat or a fat dog, and they don't care. I can call them fat. They don't have shame over that. In fact, I think they have pride over that. All right, so place treats on a parchment-lined baking sheet. Bake at 350 for about 20 minutes, and when they're slightly brown and crunchy, they're done. Then you can cool and store in a container for up to 2 weeks. So yeah, I think that's a great recipe. And the cats will come out of nowhere. Another way I would do it, when I've made cat treats before, I find it easier to put it in a piping bag, like a Ziploc bag that you zip up and you cut a corner of it off and you just sort of squeeze, because then you can squeeze teeny tiny treats, which is kind of what you want for cats and fat dogs. All right, everybody. So that's our recipe for today. And let's see, I did some dog training, some dog names. Well, okay, I'm going to leave you with the good news today. The good news story is, well, first you hear about it and you think, uh-oh, teenage boys broke into a home in Utah. Okay, it doesn't sound like a good news story to me, but the thing is, propane tanks were on fire in the back of the house. Bang, explosion, smoke. These boys were at home and they heard this weird noise. One of neighbor was in the backyard. They heard this, they all came running and they could see there was a truck parked in the driveway, but the house seemed like no one was moving in it. So they broke open, they kicked down the door. And when they got in there, there were no people. but there were two dogs, so they carried the dogs to safety, and no one was hurt. That's why teenage boys have that super springy reaction time, that ability to move into a situation like that and do the right thing. So well done, boys. I'm sure they're going to get a medal. I love hearing stuff like that. And the homeowners were so pleased. I saw them on camera thanking them on CNN this morning. So happy, even though a lot of property was damaged and lost, they still had their two little love bug dogs. And that's what matters most in life. The things we love, the people we love, the animals we love. That's what matters. So I want to leave you with that good news story today. And for me and Animal Party and Pet Life Radio, Dub Wolf, ciao, meow. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.